Christmas present from Carly and Olivia and Ezra. Why is this so weird? The guy brushes his beard.
In public? That's good.
It's not like I'm peeing in public. I'm brushing my mustache in public. Why is that weird? Everybody acts like it's weird.
I can try.
I mean, if you're a woman and you're brushing a mustache, that's weird. You can't have a mustache.
Unless you're part of the Adams family.
That's a great
day. Last
table was TMI.
All right. How's our live stream on volume out there, folks? Let us know if you have any trouble hearing it. And I think everything else looks good. Okay, Luke 9.
Yeah?
Testing? Well, it sounds good. Luke 9.
Oh, there we go. Now the sound.
Finish up down. I'll take some picture and
and if you have a praise book, that's the notebook. Page 63. Yeah. I'll collect these at the end. You can keep them. You don't have to bring them up right now. '63 in the bleak midwinter. That's what we feel like today, but it's Ohio. So I think by the end of the day, it's supposed to be in the 40s. Unless the weatherman got it wrong again. But for the moment, it's pretty winterish outside. So turn to page 63 in your praise book. We'll see it. Page 84 in your hymn book, if you would. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
The blind lady up here is trying to get some light on my. It's terrible.
I'm going to do something. I'm going to play.
Yep.
I'm
this is a new one for us. We got to remember how it goes.
Yeah, instead of butchering it, listen to the first bit of this.
On the furs.
Pages 483.
We do appreciate
only about 400 pages.
We appreciate Martha's help on that.
Yes, thank you, Martha. And I can't remember the church. It was a Baptist church there. We cheated and listened to them sing it too. Whoever you are, we thank you.
There's another song that has that same tune.
Yeah, there.
Martha told us that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it's called?
No, we'll talk later, Johnny. I don't know.
We'll figure that out later. 483. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, Martha, she'll tell you.
Oh, how I love you.
Send prayer requests to bbfohio@protonmail.com. And I think we haven't got any bad reports, so evidently the live stream is doing fine. And if you're here, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you that if you want a prayer request, please fill out a card and do it now, and don't make us wait on you at the end. We're trying to practice what we preach and not be selfish and self-centered and put other people out by our carelessness. Amen?
Okay.
Oh, I love that response.
Amen. I said okay.
Two of you did. All right. And let me see. There it is. Get my little electronic Bible out, which means I don't have to use this.
Oh, we don't have to be blinded.
And we'll be in Luke 9, verse 25 and 26 is what we're going to look at today. A reminder to turn your cell phone ringer off. As I said, I think I've saved a lot of people some embarrassment because when their cell phone ringer goes off and it's a song by Rihanna, or what's in the other? How do you know their names? But mine, it's according to who it is. Guess what my ringtone is for Doug when Doug calls me?
The Bible says.
He's a good old boy. Yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard theme song. And when I tried, I was going to have for Charlie, yeah, you can just drop it in there. I was going to have, he's a mean one, Mr. Grinch. But he's actually lightened up. So, you know, I have to find a new theme song. And I'm not going to tell you what some of yours are. No. I do have somebody with that. We'll do it. Pyramids update before we get into the study. The 2020 election steal. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat that I believe that Joe Biden is a crook and a criminal. The Democrat Party is a criminal party, and the Republican Party is controlled by criminals.
Yeah.
Rhinos and neocons.
Joe Biden already broke a promise.
What's that?
Joe Biden.
Yeah, what's?
He said he would give funds to schools where student loans. Yes, student
loans. Already nixed that?
Yeah, he already said he would.
Buggle up, it's going to be a long ride. Hopefully he breaks a lot of his promises, though, because we don't want them coming true. So.
Amen.
But just want to go through some headlines. I'm not going to get in deep into any particular story, but those who deny the election fraud lie. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and Fox News, by the way. Liars, liars, liars. The courts have not thrown out the case for fraud. They've refused to hear it. You understand that? The Supreme Court refused to hear it because of standing, they said. Other courts just threw it out for the same type of reason. Here's just one example. Thousands of ballots all over the country, including these that are shown here in Houston, had the same signature and address. And there's no way all those people lived in that same address. Same handwriting. And so that's called fraud. It happened. And every time ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, anybody tells you otherwise, you know to turn them off. You're watching liars. And that goes for your favorite politicians. Steve Stivers is my congressman, and he's a liar. Republican liar. I haven't heard our senators, but I'm sure Sherrod Brown is lying about it. Governor DeWine is a liar. Fill in the blank. Anybody telling you there's not been any election fraud is a liar. Now, they may be ignorant of the facts, but still you take responsibility for the fact that you're speaking lies.
John Houston said this old Trump to just, you know, let it go. And he's a Republican.
They're all saying that. DeWine said that, McConnell said that, etc. Georgia's corrupt Republican leadership gave Joe Biden the win by less than 12,000 votes. Now, you don't even have to be good at math to understand what I'm about to say. There are 460,000 Dropbox ballots that are missing the chain of custody documentation that's required by law.
Wow.
He only supposedly won by 12,000. Now, I'm telling you, just take all this in. I'm only giving you some of the cream of the crop. There are all kinds of examples that I don't have time to get into. The bottom line is the Democrat Party liberal communists are crooks. And they are joined by the rhinos and neocons in the Republican Party. President Trump is calling for a special counsel to investigate the 2020 presidential election. The game plan is to push it out past Inauguration Day.
Amen.
That's the game plan. Then you might even see some of these people admitting there was fraud when it's too late. And it shouldn't be too late. They should renounce, they should appeal and rescind the inauguration and put Trump back in office when they prove all this. But they won't. So meanwhile, useless rhino and neocon Republicans hand our nation to the communists. President Trump set the record for most votes for any sitting president in U.S. history, including the most votes from places that other Republicans have never gotten the votes, the minority, whatever they call that, the minority block of votes. And every Republican should be outraged and standing for justice, but where are they? I'll tell you where they are. They're sitting back and letting the communists take our country. That's where they are. And Trump says no fight. President Trump blasts Republicans for not stopping the steal. And then there's Fox News I mentioned. Trump posted this and said, the U.S. Supreme Court has been totally incompetent and weak on the massive election fraud that took place in the 2020 presidential election. We have absolute proof, but they don't want to see it. No standing, they say. If we have corrupt elections, we have no country. Fox News' Brett Hume says, quote, with apologies to Shakespeare, it will be said of Trump that nothing in his presidency became him less than the leaving of it, end quote.
Wow.
I got news for you, Brett. What is going to be said is that Trump was right, and all of you sellouts are going to be ashamed of yourself.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen when it's all said and done. Now, one user who goes by the username Cat Turd, I didn't make that. I'm just reporting here. He says, quote, if you wonder why Fox News ratings are now in the gutter, Britt's tweet will tell you.
That's right.
And Fox News has lost millions of viewers, Tucker and Hannity, Sean Hannity and a couple others are still getting good ratings, but the Fox News, the morning show, and the others have tanked. And that's why. Another lady named Jenny, those Jennies, you know, they're just smart gals, aren't they?
Amen.
Amen.
She says, quote, "There are a lot of unanswered questions concerning this election that 70-plus million Americans would like answered. Yet the media, the courts, and many of our politicians refuse to investigate. Trust me, this looks much worse on them than it does on President Trump."
Amen.
End quote.
Amen.
Any real American, that statement's true. But sadly, this country is filled with people who are full of the devil, who love the idea of killing unborn babies, who love the idea of confiscating guns. They love the idea of sodomites being married. They love everything wicked. And so those people would not be included in that number. But that's why we're talking about this. It's not Donald Trump. You take Donald Trump out of the picture and put somebody else in there who's also standing against the communists. I'm standing with them.
Amen. We are.
And as long as it's Trump right now, other times it's been Rand Paul. Other times it's been other people. I'm going to stand with anybody because communism is antichrist. This isn't politics. This is against your faith.
Amen.
It is to silence Christianity. It is to take God out of everything. It is to completely squash the Christian church in this country. Yeah. Is the end game. The only question is, when will they start taking you off the camps and when will they start murdering you? That is the only question. And we pray it happens after the rapture. But the Bible doesn't say that it has to happen after the rapture. The Bible is clear that it's already happening in other places like China. So it could happen here. So Christians who are sitting back on their laurels thinking, well, it'll never happen to us. That's a Christian who is a fool.
Amen.
And we are living in the day where we need to be awake to the fact that we're not talking politics. We're talking the end of your freedoms.
Yeah. Exactly.
Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, all your freedom to life, your right to life.
Yeah,
yeah, Mark.
Yeah, Nikita Khrushchev, the one-time premier of Russia back in the 50s and the 60s, said, "We will take you, we meaning communism, will take you over without fire and shot."
Yeah, and they're doing it through liberalism, progressivism. Yeah, John?
Yeah. The camps you talked about are already built.
Yeah, we have the...
I've got five of them.
They have the facilities. They've hoarded up all these body containers and everything. They're just in storage. So we don't want to get into that this morning, though. I want to get back to, though, what do you do in light of this? You're talking about the communist takeover of America. What do you do? Well, we're going to form a militia and we're going to shoot. You know, there may come a time where you have to defend yourself. There may come a time for that. But what you do in the meantime is be salt and light.
Amen.
That's what you. Here's just a couple examples with all these draconian communist COVID rules. Kirk Cameron defies lockdown orders with Christmas carol, peaceful protest. I love that. Now, they probably harassed him. I didn't get the report of what happened, but if he would have been a Black Lives Matter protest, they would have protected them. That's the country you're living in. A North Carolina couple is fighting the Homeowners Association where they live because they demanded that they remove the cross from their Christmas display. In their own yard.
Wow.
Get that. That's how, it's not just your government, it's liberals everywhere. Progressives everywhere. They are satanic.
Amen.
And that includes anybody who claims to be a Christian who embraces progressivism, who embraces the Black Lives Matter movement. Black Lives Matter. The movement is antichrist.
Amen.
The statement is true. The movement is false.
Amen.
Amen. And so this couple is fighting. Good for them. Reverend Franklin Graham. I tell people all the time, I thank God for any man who stands up for the gospel and stands up for what's right.
Amen.
And Franklin Graham said this. He prayed that God would spare the nation from the evil before us. He's talking about the Biden administration.
Yep.
And the liberals were like, oh, this guy calls himself a Christian and he's calling names. And he's being mean. Go read Matthew 23 and just read your Bible. Okay? All you people who are just like we were talking to the guy at Giant Eagle, you know, who says, by the way, don't shop at Giant Eagle unless you have to because they're punks.
Yeah.
And they're trying to punk everybody into wearing their mask, even if you have an exemption. They harassed her. She tried to call and talk to the manager. He talked over her, mansplaining to her. That's allowed if it's a conservative woman you're talking to.
Right.
If you're a liberal woman, you're not allowed to mansplain. But if it's a conservative woman, talk right over him. So she hung up. I call him up. And the guy immediately appeals to the fact that I'm a pastor, which is a religious discrimination, for starters.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is he accused us of yelling and lifting their voice. Hey, dude, I tried to tell you, you ain't heard nothing. We haven't raised our voice yet.
Yeah.
These little faggoty people just are making me sick. Grow some. With somebody just talking to you straight up and just being plain, that's not being mean. You know why they say you're mean? They say you're mean because you're telling them the truth. They say you're full of hate because you're telling them the truth. And I was simply asking him if he had read what the state website said. The state of Ohio website said customers cannot be forced to wear a mask if you have an exemption. I do. Jenny does. Anybody else here? And like we were talking earlier, they can't ask you why either because of HIPAA law.
Right.
Now, I didn't make that law, but that's the law. So don't ask me. I just am not going to wear a mask. He refused to read the website, accusing me of raising my voice, and then he hung up on me. So I contacted the corporate office about a week and a half ago. Haven't heard anything.
Right.
And I got one of these canned emails. And all I can do is what I can do. We can do what's right. If everybody just does what's right, it would change things.
Amen.
And we're not going back to Giant Eagle until we hear from them.
That's right.
And if that happens to you any other place, just stop giving your business. That's why Christians should get off of Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. You are making them money so they can spend that money to defeat you.
Yeah.
Every time you click on one of those websites, you are giving money to your enemy to kill you.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that's the end result, that's the end game.
Exactly what it is.
So back to Franklin Graham. He's talking about the Biden administration and all their wicked policies. But here's something that I thought was pretty neat after I saw that, is that he had said in a Breitbart article, Franklin Graham said he is grateful for the last 4 years
Amen.
And what Donald Trump has done for Americans who stand for life and freedom.
Amen.
There's an awful lot of Christians who are too stupid to realize the friend they had.
Amen.
There are. John Piper and Beth Moore, we talked about them Wednesday.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Amen.
Ignorant.
Amen.
Void of any kind of understanding. And Donald Trump tweeted that article and said, I'm great. Or he said, thank you, Franklin. And so we, at least not all the mainline evangelicals have lost their minds. Amen.
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 All right. So there you go. Your world, where you are, you do what Christians ought to do. You be salt and light.
Amen.
And if all Christians would do that, things would change.
Amen.
And we'll leave it with that and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all who have made it. If there's anybody else on the way in, you give them safety.
Amen.
And we thank you for the opportunity that we've had over the last, actually, few weeks, to remind the world that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh.
Amen.
That God became man in the person of Jesus to die for the sins of the world. And when they killed him, they laid him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And Lord, we don't know how many days we have left, either for the day of our death or the day of the rapture. We don't know when either will happen. Help us to learn to live every day, picking up our cross daily, dying daily to self and living for you, working whatever jobs we have as unto you, and taking advantage of every opportunity to talk to people about Jesus Christ, even if they mock us, even if they refuse to listen, help us to make the effort. And as we now study again the words of Jesus Christ along these lines, help us, Lord, that may the Holy Spirit have his way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so as I said, we're in Luke 9, 25 and 26. Thank you. had a bit of a cough the last few days, so I apologize ahead of time if I cough a little more often than normal. But we'll read together these two verses, Luke 9, 25 and 26. If you're there, go ahead and begin with me. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So it seems like a simple question. Looking at verse 25 again. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Seems like an almost rhetorical question, with the obvious answer being nothing. Amen? But do you know there are people who have purposely given themselves over to sin, to wickedness, and to Satan himself, willing to lose their eternal soul in order to experience things on this earth? I don't know how. I'll give you a couple examples. We'll see. I'll quit when I think I'm done. But you know, most of the models, male and female models, have to give themselves over to wickedness.
Yeah, right.
The stories come out constantly of models who had to have sex with somebody in order to get a job.
That's right.
Actors too.
There's actors, but I'll start with models. You hear stories where the women go from the United States of America over to France. There's stories, you can look them up online, where to get a job modeling, they had to basically, almost like prostitution, have sex in order to get the job. And after they make their money and become famous, some of them are saying it wasn't worth it.
Amen.
Uh-uh. Okay. Sadly, though, about 9 out of 10 of those women never make anything. And they, too, eventually say it wasn't worth it.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I'm not sure about before they die, but I'll guarantee you that upon death, none of them say it was worth it.
Right. Yeah.
Same thing being an actor. This Harvey Weinstein thing, that's just the tip of the iceberg, to use an overused metaphor. But this has been going on, and that's where the term casting couch came from. That you had to be beautiful, you had to have talent, and you had to hit the couch with whoever it is was hiring you in order to be an actress.
Wow.
And the stories come out about Marilyn Monroe and all these other ones, but there are a lot of stories that just haven't ever been told.
Yeah.
There's also, up until the last 10 or 20 years in business, a woman would, in order to move up the corporate ladder, they would joke about her sleeping her way to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the story about Kamala Harris. What's his name? Brown, Mayor Brown out in San Francisco and all that. So, it's not always famous people we know about.
Right, that's right.
I mean, it's just everyday people who have decided, there are people who have decided that they can't go to a local church and give money. That's a real touchy subject to bring up. Because we have so many TV preachers and people who, you know, have abused their position and talked people out of large amounts of money. But I have news for you. It's time for everybody to grow up.
Amen.
The fact that you have TV preachers that are crooks doesn't make local churches and pastors crooks.
Right.
There are examples of that in those churches, and that's where you as a grown-up have to use your brain and make sure you're not supporting somebody like that.
Amen.
But I don't receive a paycheck here, but even if I did, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that as long as it was a legitimate amount.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And there are preachers that receive a legitimate pay, and that's fine.
That's good.
You have to pay the bills. I don't know, some of you may not notice this, but if you're coming here and you're not contributing to this work financially, you're a burden to everybody around you. Because we have to pay the bill for those lights.
Amen.
We have to pay the bill for the heating. We pay for food. We paid for the hymn books. We pay, on and on it goes, the money that goes into this ministry. We pay money to go on the radio and go on the internet. And I'm telling you this because I just had this conversation with somebody here recently, not going to get specific. But one day, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Now, if you do not give financially to His work where you ought to,
amen,
you listen to me close. He will confront you.
Amen.
It's no different than if you're a Christian and you spent your life in sin and trying to hide your sin. At some point, God's going to expose that. And when you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, if you did good works in order to be applauded and to get attention, those works aren't going to count.
That's right.
But if you give money to the work in order to support the work, and you're not asking for a pat on the back of your name and lights,
amen,
then that is going to be rewarded.
Amen.
But I'll tell you why. I'm just telling you, we know for a fact, because of the number of churches in America, I'm just talking about the Bible-believing churches. Most of them are about our size.
Yeah.
Who believe the Bible, preach the gospel, do the work of the ministry. The pastor's not driving a limo. The pastor doesn't have a jet or a plane. The pastor, a lot of them don't receive any pay. And yet, by the number of people in the pews in those churches, there should be about 10 times the amount of money right now funding missions, Bibles, etc.
Amen.
That means there's a lot of fakes.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Help them, Lord.
A lot of Christians, how many people give out a gospel tract through the year and it ought to be on a regular basis?
Amen.
Why aren't you? It has to be because you're worried about what the world thinks about you.
Yep.
Why don't you give the money? Because you're trying to live up to the world's standard of living. Why don't you read your Bible? Because you're too busy doing this or doing this or doing this or whatever. And I'm just telling you, as your friend, grow up if that's you.
That's right.
Amen.
You are wasting your life.
Yep.
And I love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
I'm glad that about a year and a half in, when I was a Christian, I was already saved, but I was just being self-centered still. And about a year and a half in, I sat in a pew when an old preacher preached at me, just like I am you right now. And he said, "Listen, when you stand before Jesus, you're going to wish you weren't this self-centered and this stupid."
Amen.
I thought he was preaching right to me.
Amen.
I'm sure he wasn't. But man, you talk about stomping toes. I limped out of there that morning.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. That left an impression on me the rest of my life.
Praise the Lord.
And that's what Jesus is saying here. The previous verses we've read, He's telling you to deny yourself. Take up your cross. Can you really describe your life that way?
Yeah.
Can you really say, "I'm denying myself"? Can you really say, "I'm taking up my cross daily"? I hope so.
Amen.
And I'm not accusing anybody in here, by the way. I don't know what your other 5 days of the week you're like.
Yeah.
I hope you're as dedicated to the Lord during those other 5 days as you are right now. You know, you got up and came to church. There's a lot of lazy bums who claim to be Christian. You just can't get out of bed to come to church.
Yeah.
And they need a friend that loves them enough to say, "Listen, you're a lazy, good-for-nothing bum.
Yeah.
Grow up, get up, and serve the Lord."
Amen.
But a lot of people today, you tell them that and they'll just cut you off. They won't be your friend anymore.
Yeah.
But you know what? What's more important? You being honest before them or your friendship that is so strong that it can't stand that kind of interaction. See, that's not really your friend anyway. If you got a friend that you can't confront when they're wrong, that's not your friend. It's a relationship of convenience. There's something they get out of being around you or you around them. That's not true friendship. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Remember that was our last study. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world? Is there anything more valuable to you than your eternal soul? You say, wait a minute, I'm saved. Okay. That's great. But you're losing your life to your own carnality. What you could be doing for the Lord is dead, and you are serving carnality. You are serving the world.
Yeah.
And when you stand before Jesus Christ, as I said a moment ago, there will be a judgment. You're not going to be judged for your sin. If you're truly saved, your sin was judged at the cross.
Yeah.
What you're going to be judged for at the judgment seat is, I died for you. I paid for your sin. You should be in hell right now.
Yeah.
And what did you do for me?
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
And there's going to be people, the Bible says, that are going to stand there and watch everything in their life go up in flames.
Yeah.
Saved, so as by fire. And all you have to do is decide that every day you're going to wake up and say, thank you for saving me. And it's only reasonable now that you saved me that I'm going to serve you today.
Yeah.
And every day you do that. That's it.
Amen.
Rely on His Holy Spirit and His Word to be the purpose of your life, and things will change.
Thank you, Lord.
We got some young people here.
Amen.
You young people, man, you've got a chance to serve the Lord and not be stupid like so many other people.
Yep. Yeah.
Who have wasted their adult lives doing nothing but idiocy.
Yeah, that's right.
People in prison right now who just would love to be able to go back and make different choices. You know, it all comes down to that. Nobody went to prison for doing this unless we come full-fledged under communism.
Yeah.
And they start to lock you up for being a Christian. And in that case, that's a whole other thing we'll talk about at another time, but God will give you the grace, and it'll be if you got the right mind, it'll be a pleasure to suffer for the Lord. Mm-hmm. But as far as what we're talking about in this text, gaining the world and losing himself. See, in this text, there's another place where he uses the word soul, but in this case, he just says lose himself. As a Christian, you can lose yourself. You're saved, but you're not really what you should be for the Lord. You are not really what you know you should be for the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to show in your life. And it'll show at the judgment seat of Christ. And not even talking about the ripple effects. Go to a pond or a lake sometime, toss a rock out there, boink, and you see the ripples reach everywhere. That's what you're doing. The question is, what effect do your ripples have? Your life is rippling. Whether you like it or not, it's a fact of life. But what are your ripples doing? When all is said and done, your soul is the most valuable thing you possess. Do you understand that? Your soul is worth more than your reputation. If everybody thinks you're went off the deep end there, and with those Bible thumpers. No, I don't want people to talk about me like that. Your soul is more important than that. Your soul is more important than feeding the flesh. Well, I'd rather be. Well, right there you need to stop and repent. Because if your rather be is against the Word of God, you're already wrong before you even did it. You don't actually possess anyone else or any other thing in the true permanent sense. Jenny's my wife, but after we deceased or are raptured, we're not going to be husband and wife anymore. We've talked about that. And in our human sense, it's, you know, mortal sense, we're like, that's a bummer. Because I really love this woman.
Amen.
Now, some men are like, I'm glad that ain't for eternity. You know? And there's some women who are like, oh, thank you, Lord, for not making me be married to this guy for eternity. That's a shame, but it's a reality. But I know we're not the only ones, but in our case, man, it wouldn't be a curse. It'd be a blessing. If the Bible said, you know, till death do you part, and then you're stuck together for eternity. How's that song go? I'm happy to be stuck with you.
It'd change a lot of marriages, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. But the good thing is we know we will be together, because we're going to be with the Lord forever. But we're not going to be husband and wife. I don't have any claims on her after that. And your car, your house, your clothes, whatever it is, puppies, kittens, whatever. All of it is something given to you by God in the real sense. And your own body, your soul, your spirit, that's given to you by God too. But those are the only things that are really your possessions. No one can take it away from you. I love it when someone gets in trouble or gets in a bad fix and somebody looks at them and says, you know, settle down. I know it's bad, but it's not like they can take your birthday away from you. Anybody ever said that to you? Think about it. That's the truth. It's not like they could. That means they can't destroy you, at least not in our system.
Yes.
Well, your possessions begin with your spirit, and your body, and your soul. That's your three possessions. You have a spirit, a body, and a soul. In Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's your body. What happens when you die, you either are cremated or buried. You turn to ashes and dirt. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You know, when they take a human body and they cremate it, and then they study what it's made of. It's made out of the same stuff you find in dirt.
Yeah.
This is a very scientific statement.
Amen.
The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, that's your body, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now, I'm not going to get into all this, but just the fact that the word spirit in Greek is pneuma, which is pneumonia. It comes from that word. It's a disease of the lungs, the breath, the life. Pneuma is breath. And so that's the breath. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's the spirit. Then it says, and man became a living what?
Soul.
So there you have it. Your body, your spirit, and your soul. Right there in Genesis 2:7. Also, Paul later wrote this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I had somebody say, well, I don't believe in the trichotomy. I believe in what? I don't care what you believe. I got the Bible. I'm going with it.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter when we're discussing what God says about you. Only what God says about you matters. You have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Those are your possessions. Everything else is, it's your possession maybe legally in this society, etc., but in the real terms, it's all on, it's loaned to you until death. At death, the game changes.
Yeah.
Upon your decease, your spirit goes back to God. You notice he breathes the breath of life into man. That's the spirit. That goes back to God. Why? Well, because your body goes in the grave and it's dead. There's no spirit there anymore. So your spirit goes back to God. Your body goes to the grave. What about the soul? Where does your soul go? Well, Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust, that's the body, return to the earth. God made man out of dirt. You, when you die, that's why one of the oldest sayings is, when they're joking or not, sometimes they just look at somebody and say, you're a big dirt bag. That's what you are. That's why you shouldn't be too full of yourself. You shouldn't be too full of yourself. You're a dirt bag. I'm a dirt bag. Wouldn't you like to be a dirt bag too? So the dust returned to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. There it is. That's exactly what we were just saying. So the body then, where does it go? It goes to the grave. But the soul, if lost, goes to hell. Jesus said, Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, because it goes into the ground, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Yeah.
Now, just a little filler here. Hell is not eternal. In the sense of you, if you go to hell, you're not going to be in hell for eternity. Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because the Bible says that at the time of the judgment, if you're in hell, God pulls you out of there and puts you in front of a great white throne for judgment.
Yeah.
And hell itself is cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Then if your name's not found written in the book of life, you are cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
See? So a lot of these false teachings on hell have kernels of truth to them. Like the people who say that there's purgatory. Well, it's kind of true, except they teach that you're burning in purgatory to pay for your own sins. That's impossible.
Right.
You're in hell, which is temporary, and you're brought out of hell for judgment. Your time in hell doesn't pay for any sins.
Nope.
And then you're brought out for judgment, and hell will be emptied and cast into the lake of fire. And then those whose names are not written in the book of life are then cast into the lake of fire. That's the reality. And so if you die without Jesus Christ, your soul goes to hell. And then you're waiting in hell for the great white throne judgment. And having not been saved, your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. You're then cast into the lake of fire. The body goes to the grave, but the soul, if saved, goes to heaven. There's this false teaching that when you die, your body goes in the grave and then your soul goes to sleep. Mm-hmm. And this thing called soul sleep. And you're like in a dark limbo or unconsciousness until resurrection day. And that's not what the Bible teaches. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
So when you die, your soul goes back to its source, or your spirit, I'm sorry. Your spirit goes back to its source, which is God. That's true whether you're saved or not. Your body goes into the grave, either as ashes or in a casket, to rot. Either way, whether you're saved or not. But your soul goes one of two places.
Yeah.
And if you're saved, your soul goes into the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, your soul goes into a place called hell. Yes.
Your spirit goes back to be with the Lord. Is that, I'm not trying to get too complicated about this, but is that still in any sense you?
No. No, and the spirit is basically, I've looked for real easy definitions for it. Basically, it's the life energy that is in you. One of the things that evolutionists can't explain is that when that first little cell, which came from nothing, out of nowhere, and popped into existence. And when that thing, at some point, came alive, where did that life come from? They don't even know what it is, let alone where it came from. They can't answer that question. The Bible says that God created all things, and all things that are alive, He created that way, giving that thing life. So even your dogs and your cats, you know, animals, they have a spirit. And when they die, that goes back to God, where it came from. God is the source of life. That's why evolutionists will never explain it. It's not a scientific thing. As far as matter, it's not something you can dissect. It's not something observable. They put people who are dying under all kinds of observations to see how what they can find happens when you die. And maybe even to catch the spirit leaving or something like that. And they haven't really. I've seen some people claim they did, but it wasn't legit. So, that is what we see at the rapture, by the way. I want you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. And we see this explained for us. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning of verse 13. I'll read as you're turning there. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, That's why you should be reading your Bible every day and coming here for our studies, so you will not be ignorant.
Amen.
Concerning them which are what?
Asleep.
Asleep. Now we're going to see that asleep is referring to the body. He continues and says that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. So just as I was actually quoting this to Brian yesterday in a phone conversation, we sorrow when someone dies. It's normal. Jesus wept when Lazarus died, even though he's just getting ready to raise him from the dead. And he still wept. Why? Because that's normal. But what we do not do is sorrow as those who have no hope. See? There's a difference between a Christian sorrowing, especially, for example, the death of another Christian. When you sorrow, but you have hope because you know they're with the Lord. And if you're saved, you're going to see him again. So then verse 14 says, well, read it with me. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now stop right there. He's bringing them with him. So where are they before he comes? With him in heaven. But that's not their bodies. Their bodies are in a grave somewhere.
Yeah.
Or maybe they were in an ocean somewhere or in an urn somewhere. It doesn't matter. Their body is not with them. But that person, the real you, is with Jesus. And he says right here, those which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him.
Yeah.
So the body's in the grave, but the real you is with him. We already read, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be where?
Present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord. So then verse 15 says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. So if the rapture happens right now, most of you here this morning are alive.
Amen. More or less.
This is a joke. A preacher told a, they said it's a Presbyterian preacher. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the denomination. There's dead churches all over the place. Preacher's up there. He said, there's some good news. The Bible says this church is going to go up first. Because it says the dead in Christ go up first.
Uh-oh.
Stepping on some dust. But in a literal biblical sense, what he's saying is, those of you who are alive right now, you're going to wait a millisecond. Because it says, those which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That means the same as we would use the word precede a lot more often today. Them which are asleep. You're not going to go before them which are asleep. But them which are asleep are coming with Jesus. Their bodies are in a grave. And that's why it says in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. And what? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now look at it. It is what it is. It says what it says. He's bringing them with him, and yet they have to rise. Why? Because their soul is present with the Lord right now. And if the rapture happens right now, their souls, the soul bodies of all the saints, come with Jesus at the rapture. Now, and by the way, this isn't the second coming. It's different from the rapture. This is it happening in the air. You go back to Revelation 19, when you come back at the end of the tribulation is the second coming, because that's when he actually comes to the earth. In this, he doesn't come to the earth, he's in the air. And he's brought those who are asleep in Jesus with him to get their bodies. And it says, "In the dead in Christ shall rise first." Those bodies come up and are immediately glorified, and they put them on like a robe. And now the soul has a body clothing it, and it'll be exactly the same as what Moses had on Mount Sinai for a little while and what Jesus had on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you can read about it in Revelation 1. Hair white like wool, eyes like fire, feet like brass. That's the glorified Jesus, and that's what's going to happen to your body. Because then it says in verse 17, after this happens to the dead in Christ, where their soul has returned with Jesus in the air, their body has been raised, they've glorified and put it on. By the way, we don't have time to run all the references. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and onward explains all this. And there are other passages in Job and Psalms, even and elsewhere. But that's what happens to the deceased, those who are asleep in Jesus. They come back with him in their soul. Their body is raised, and they put on that glorified body. Then, read verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's why he can then say in verse 18, read that, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, at that moment, if no sooner, at that moment, you are going to realize nothing in this world that's not done to please the Lord is a complete waste of your time.
Amen.
At that moment, that's going to be crystal clear to you like never before. Now, let's throw this out there real quick. Even sometimes rest, taking a nap, getting a good night's sleep. Why? Because if you're doing that so that you can remain healthy and used of the Lord. Eating healthy, doing what you should do, taking a bath, brushing your teeth. Why? Because if you smell like a skunk or a dead squirrel, no one's going to want to be around you and you can't serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
They actually even laughed. They've seen me. I grab mints. Why? I'm up here yapping for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever. You can get bad breath. They call it speaker's breath. And so when I come down there to talk to you, I don't want to knock you out.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah. So you may think that's strange, but I'm here to tell you, I bathe. I put on deodorant. I use breath mints, whatever, so that it doesn't hinder what I'm doing for the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
This is going way back, almost 30 years ago, the first time I went out door to door. Went with another preacher. We're getting ready to get out of the car. He stops and pops out lifesavers. I'm like, no thanks. He said,
yes, thanks.
Son. I said, you trying to tell me something? He says, I absolutely am. I said, what? He said, you got coffee breath.
Uh-huh.
You know, when we walk in there breathing on people with that coffee breath.
Morning breath.
He said, they won't hear a word you're saying about the Lord. They're going to be thinking, Lord, save me from this man's breath.
That's
true. Amen.
Amen.
Everything you do, you should want to, you know, that's a good reason not to get like John 3:16 tattooed on your forehead. I'm not for tattoos anyway, really, but if you're going to get one, don't get it, you know, because no matter what it says right there, people are going to be looking at you like, what a freak. And they're not even going to hear anything you say. There's different things we can think about that we should do that we don't hinder God's ability to use us. Whatever it is that you're doing that's hindering God's ability to use you, that moment at the rapture, when you receive a glorified body, you also are a glorified mind.
Amen.
And at that moment, if no sooner, you're going to realize that all this nonsense you're doing, wasting your life, was so foolish. Amen.
Amen.
So who is going to miss out on this? Look at verse, back to Luke 9:26. Who's going to go to hell when they die? Who's going to miss out as a Christian? They say you're saved. This actually is true for both. Read verse 26 again with me. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Now, this is a direct reference to the second coming, but there's other places we don't have time to run all the references where it actually applies to Christians as well. I mean, don't tell me you haven't ever at any time not spoke up when you should have.
Ouch.
Shame on us. I've been there.
Oh.
How many times, how stupid this is. How many times you've been getting ready to give somebody a gospel tract and you're like, oh, that might offend them. They've been having a bad day. They don't look happy. I'm just going to put this away. That's really dumb.
Uh-huh.
I've done it. How many times you think, oh, you know, look how busy that waitress is. I'm just going to leave her tip here. I'm not going to. Oh, she can read it later.
That's right. Amen. Help us, Lord.
Or how many times you're talking to somebody and they need to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
But you're afraid you might make them mad. You might upset them. Folks, I've done it. And I think everybody in this room, if you're honest, admit you've done it.
Amen.
And let's all agree it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
First of all, who cares if they're offended by the gospel? The Bible says it will offend.
Amen.
Second of all, how do you know they even are going to have another day to hear it from you?
Yep.
That's right. Oh, Lord, help.
How many of us lost somebody suddenly and we didn't think we were going to lose them that day?
Yeah.
Happens all the time. So, ashamed of Jesus? There are people not being saved today because they close their mind off to it, because all the people they're around make fun of Christians.
Yeah.
They make fun of Bible believers.
Believe that book. I mean, that's just crazy. Talking snakes. Talking donkeys. I mean, splitting the Red Sea when we all know it's the Sea of Reeds, right? That's one of the dumbest ones. I mean, because they never argue about whether Pharaoh's army was drowned, but then they'll say it was only 2 inches of water. You're like, it's still a miracle then. They drowned a whole army in 2 inches of water.
Yeah.
But on it goes. Anything but believe the Bible, because you don't want people to make fun of you. That's being ashamed of Jesus and His gospel.
Yeah.
There are people who I've known. Now, I really can't say I remember doing this, but maybe I did at some point after being saved. When someone was talking about how to get to heaven, if that subject comes up, I feel free to say, well, I believe you get to heaven through the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. But there are Christians who are afraid to say that because, oh, you think yours is the only way? No, it's not my opinion. It's the words of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
If you believe there's another way, you are calling Jesus Christ a liar. Well, then they backtrack and say, well, we're not sure he actually ever said those words. Yes, we are. Yeah, we are. And you'll stand and answer for being ashamed of his words.
Yeah.
That's true. And as a Christian, you may be saved and just give an end to those fears.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can't change those, but you can get your heart ready and start standing the way you ought to from this day forward.
Amen.
The word ashamed, by the way, defined as abashed or confused by guilt or a conviction of some criminal action or indecorous conduct. Abashed or confused by guilt or a conviction of some criminal action or indecorous conduct. Jesus, in his words, leave the unrepentant sinner ashamed and lost. Why won't people believe the gospel? They're unrepentant.
That's right.
Yep. Amen.
Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. They love their sin.
Yeah.
They do not want to leave all their sin. That includes your sinful thoughts, which includes anything you think about salvation that isn't, according to the Bible, is a sin. Anything you think in contradiction to God's word is a sin. You're saying you're smarter than God.
Amen.
Any of those lustful things, any of your envying, and all that. And people just... We were talking the other day about people who live their lives angry. I'm like that when I'm on the computer, but that's because of the software. But out in everyday life, I don't think I walk around like that. I pray not. I try not to. I certainly want to give life through the gospel.
You do.
But there are people. How many of you know people are just angry all the time?
Uh-huh.
And no matter what you do, their response is going to be something cantankerous.
Uh-huh.
They love being angry.
They love it.
They love it. And so you go to them with Jesus and they're like, you know, they immediately think of rainbows and, you know, and they're like, oh, they're offended by that. They're disgusted by it. But then there's people today who are some of the happy, clappy people, the happiest, clappiest people you ever meet. And they're also godless. Why? They love their sin, which is to not have any standards, any absolutes, and just try to everything positive. Your radio station, 104.9, is sinful.
Amen.
All positive all the time, shame on you.
Oh, yeah.
You're imbalanced and psychotic
WCVO.
Yep.
It's not supposed to be all positive all the time. You're supposed to be telling sinners they're lost and going to hell. I haven't listened to that station for years, but I turned it off because years ago they stopped telling sinners they're going to hell.
Yeah.
They took off any preacher that would say that.
Yeah.
And put on positive hits. Positive. Yeah. Amen. Look over at 2 Timothy 1. We'll pack it up right here, I think. 2 Timothy chapter 1 begins in verse 6 as you're turning. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now in the context, he's talking about preaching the gospel and standing for the word. He's not talking about whether or not you have the guts to bungee jump or, you know, whatever extreme sports or things like that. And he says in verse 8, be not thou therefore, see, what is he giving you? He says he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Why? He explains verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's the gospel. Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God.
Amen.
You see, people quote that verse all the time. It has nothing to do with what they're quoting it about. I'm afraid to get up in front of people and speak at my school. Well, if Jesus hasn't given you a spirit of fear, you should have courage to get up and speak. Okay, you should have courage to get up and speak. You ought to rely on the Lord. But that's not what that verse is about.
Amen.
Unless when you get up and speak, you're going to be presenting God's word. You're going to be presenting the gospel. That's what the text is actually about. Now, I don't have any problem with saying, well, we don't have a spirit of fear, so we should be able to do these other things. Fine, but don't miss the real point. The real point is that you stand up unashamed of the gospel. But be thou partaker of the afflictions also there of the gospel according to the power of God. That means if people make fun of you, boo-hoo. People making fun of you. Why does that matter? People mocking you. People shunning you. People won't invite me to the Christmas party anymore because I want to talk about the fact that it's all about Jesus coming to die for our sins when they want to talk about Santa Claus and Rudolph. It doesn't matter. You should not be ashamed to stand on the truth. Verse 9, let's go ahead and read it together, verses 9 through 12. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Oh, amen. Isn't that good?
Yes.
How sad to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How sad to go to hell for that reason. How sad as a Christian to lose out on reward for that reason. In Romans 1:16, we have to end on where Paul said, for I am not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Amen.
We're going to sing a song, and I hope you can sing it and mean it. It's on page 375 in your hymn book. I gave my life for thee. I'll collect the prayer cards in a minute. I gave my life for thee, page 375. I'm just being blunt as I am wont to be when I say, you deserve hell,
but Jesus died to save you. Think of that. Everybody here has earned hell. The wages of sin is death. We've all earned it. But Jesus died to save you. Question, is this world worth losing your soul? It's not. If you give the wrong answer, then bad, you know, sad to be you. But it's not. This world is not worth losing your soul. Think of the people who threw away their soul in order to be famous. And in their time, they were. But today, we don't even know who they are. One of the things about reading history, you'll find out there's all these people you don't even know existed. But in their day, they were the thing. Now no one even remembers them. Where are they at? In hell. Wasn't worth it. But even if you're not talking about fame, even if it's just our own little worlds we live in, the world is not worth it. Stand with me if you would, and let's sing 375. To bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can be seated if you're not bringing a card up to me. And we will say goodbye to the onliners. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air.